Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Dilly, dilly to you loyal viewers of Sound Off. Keep thine televisions tuned to this channel, for Sound Off is next. Dilly Dilly! Dilly Dilly!
Live from WHO HD, it's Sound Off with Keith Murphy and John Sears, featuring Andy Fales with What's Bugging Andy. Now, get ready to Sound Off.
Welcome to Sound Off. Up front, I'll tell you, and I'll tell you too, John, yeah. I'm a little bit under the weather. I've been sick for several days, but I didn't want to miss this final Sound Off before the Super Bowl.
You're under the weather?
Yeah, I'm under
the
weather.
I feel like a drum is beating in my head. I got this right here next to me, just in case you know what goes down on the Sound Off set. Stomach is grumbling. I'm pounding 7-Up.
I've got throat lozenges. I've got.
But I'm here.
I've got the sniffles.
And I'm fighting.
And I, no way, I'm missing this. I'm sicker than you are, John. Your chance to sound off at 515-282-9010. I can't believe I'm out here playing this sick. If you're a Big Four men's college basketball fan, well, that was rough. All four teams lose again this weekend, and now we have no team in first place.
Drake a full 2 games back out of first after losing 4 of 6. Iowa State tied for last. Iowa and UNI next to last. How sick of losing are you?
I'm sick of it, and I'm an observer.
We're both a little sick. Sound off 515-282-9010.
I'm sick. The University of Iowa is a public school. Fran McCaffrey is a state employee. And multi-million-dollar contract extensions should not be kept quiet. This past summer, when not just athletics director Gary Barta, but reporters and fans expected a good basketball season from the Hawkeyes, Barta says McCaffrey agreed to a 2-year extension. Barta also more than doubled McCaffrey's buyout. Iowa can afford that risk, even if it seems there's no reason to give it. Later in November, after Barta recovered from illness, McCaffrey signed. Good for McCaffrey. No one should fault him for taking a sweet deal, but everyone should fault Iowa for trying to sneak it by us. If not for Land of Ten's Scott Docterman and the Freedom of Information Act, we're likely still in the dark. State university administrators love to talk importance of full transparency until they have something they think will go over like a turd in a punch bowl. It's true, some fans would have howled back in late November after Iowa's shaky start to the season, but it's much worse when it comes out like this, and it always comes out. Iowa made it worse Friday by defensively releasing a statement that McCaffrey has had, quote, multiple opportunities to leave. Hard to imagine any of those opportunities better than being head coach of the Hawkeyes. Maybe Iowa needs a shot of self-esteem. McCaffrey deserves considerable credit for pulling the program out of the Licklider ashes. McCaffrey has had about the same 8 years at Iowa as Steve Alford. They both won 48% of their conference games, 3 NCAA tournaments, 2 wins for McCaffrey, 1 for Alford. McCaffrey's program and players have stayed out of trouble, and though McCaffrey throws tantrums, he's more likable and relatable than Alford. McCaffrey needs to prove this season an anomaly, and he'll get that chance. He should. But by keeping this deal quiet, Iowa shot an air ball. If you think enough of a coach to sign a new deal, Think enough of your fans to share that news with them.
Keith, just curious, what's my buyout?
Just leave.
Okay, well, it was also a rough day for Iowa State on Saturday. The Cyclones were beaten handily by Tennessee. But I'm not here to talk about the game. Not the game. I want to talk about what's really important. The uniforms. For those that didn't see, the Cyclones wore jerseys that were gray and white. No color, just plain gray and white. Now, full disclosure, I'm a 36-year-old white male with three kids. But I am not a hater of alternate uniforms. I get that this chrome steel look is the in thing for kids and recruits to let them know you're hip, but come on. What Iowa State wore on Saturday looked like the printers ran out of color ink. Last time I checked, the school colors are cardinal and gold, not gray and white. You at least have to have some school color in the uniform. The football team has worn gray uniforms, which are okay, but at least they have some cardinal and gold in them. The reason Cy stands out is he because he's a big red bird. Imagine if Cy were gray. Not a good look. What if Hilton Coliseum just transformed into a gray and white arena? How dull would that look? I understand what Iowa State is trying to do, but let's not just abandon tradition for recruits that may not even show up. I like an occasional alternate uniform, but how about we sprinkle in some school colors? Then again, after the way they played, I'm guessing Steve Prohm isn't going to pull those out again anytime soon.
Notice we never saw the alternate Cyclone football uniform with the
bugle?
Cyclone, the bugle on the side of the helmet. Never saw those again after that performance against Texas. Wonder if we will ever see them again. I agree with you. You got to splash in the school colors. Go gray, go
even
dark.
Just a little bit. Get a little cardinal and gold.
Northern Iowa did that today. Black uniforms. But gold and purple.
Exactly.
Lane is in Huxley. Hello, Lane. What are your thoughts on Iowa basketball?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, you know, it seems Iowa's not doing good, obviously. What do you think they're going to do in the tournament, or if they're even going to make it?
I don't think they're making – what tournament do you mean? They automatically get to go to the big – no, they're not going to the NCAA tournament.
No, they're not going to – no, they're definitely – the only way they go to the NCAA tournament is if they win the Big Ten tournament. And we've seen in years past that doesn't usually go well for Fran McCaffrey teams in the Big Ten tournament.
How long has it been since Iowa has even won a game in the Big Ten tournament? You've covered several of them.
And
have
been
you ever
quick,
stayed more than one night?
They've been quick trips, no.
No, they've been quick trips.
Did Licklider ever win a game? I don't know if Licklider ever won a game in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, you're going back a long ways, but the bottom line is this team is 11-12. There's no shot at the NCAA tournament. There's likely no shot at the NIT because now the NIT ramps up their records a little bit. So unless Iowa makes a run here at the end of the season and does well in the conference tournament, there's likely no postseason for this Hawkeye team.
It is time for lookalikes with a local connection. Now, Tiny Ref is the judge of lookalikes. It's a tremendous responsibility, but he's been okay. Buddy in Pleasant Hill says Kim in Des Moines and others. Think Drake head coach Nico Medved looks like Paul Rubens, also known as Pee Wee Herman. My man Nico deserves better, doesn't he, John?
He does.
Tiny Ref, what do you think? Oh, no.
That's mean from Tiny Ref. I don't agree with that.
Tiny Ref's in a bad mood because he got cut from the show last week. Elizabeth in Clarion says Cyclone quarterback Kyle Kemp, who may or may not have another year of eligibility, looks like former Boston College star Jim Sweeney.
Now, who?
Look how deep somebody went into the archives for this. But I think it might be a match. Tiny Rev, you agree?
We're sure that's not Kemp's dad?
Look at that guy. That's Kyle Kemp, isn't it? That's fantastic. Nice job. And how did you find that?
Guys, for years we've been phasing out something that we desperately need. This week, we got a reminder of why it's still so very important. It's What's Bugging Andy next. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at SoundOff13. B. McCool writes, "What makes me sad about the Cyclones is that they don't have to be as bad as they are. At times, they have problems even inbounding the ball. Hard work and practice solves that. Chrome needs to get control of the freshmen who seem to be out of control at times." When you don't like the news, accurate or not, the new trend is to just yell, "Fake news."
And that's what's bugging Andy.
The case of Dr. Larry Nassar has reminded us of a few things. That we may be God-fearing people who love our children, but at times, our lust for success can cloud our judgment. And under that cloud, a world of unthinkable evil can develop. We need to redeploy the watchdogs we long ago created, because our own sense of right and wrong is all too often pulled off center. One of those watchdogs is investigative journalism. Without that first story by the Indianapolis Star back in 2016, Nassar would still be in his office, making more victims. Don't take that from me. Those are the words of the chief prosecutor in the case. Make no mistake, this all began with those first brave women who came forward. But it wasn't until the Star got involved that they got a voice. That's been the duty of journalism since its advent, to give a voice to the meek and a check down to the mighty. Investigative journalism is one of the pillars of our democracy, but these days we are attacking it with axes and picks. We don't like what the story tells us, well, we call it fake news. We revel in the news that our papers are going bankrupt because we think it serves them right for telling us news that we didn't want to hear. We call it biased, but then we turn our attention to radio pundits and websites, which are far more so. Politics aside, don't we still want to know the truth? And not a version of it that helps us feel right, but the real truth? Of course we do. And it's our responsibility to insist on it. It's also the responsibility of journalists, not to aim for clickbait, but to be resourced and right. But when they are, we need to acknowledge it by paying for their work. It comes at a price. But the price that we will pay for losing it will be a whole lot steeper. Just imagine a Larry Nassar still out there. Not all heroes faced gunfire. Some just carried a pen and a notebook. In this case, the victims needed them just the same. I'm Andy Fales, and that's what's bugging me.
Well done, Andy. The return of the XFL. That's next on Sound Off, plus more of your live takes. Lines open right now, 515-282-9010.
He hate me.
Tell us something you feel good about in local sports.
Anything.
Like us on Facebook at Sound Off Nation. Tim writes, "We go from 3 years ago to three of our teams all beating a number one and Iowa reaching as high as number three ranking to this? Just terrible."
I assume he's talking about all the teams in Iowa right now.
Yeah, Drake is...
They're better.
Yeah, they're two games out of first place. Yeah. They shouldn't be lumped in with the other three at this point, but even Drake's lost four of six. Who's in your five? Five original XFL pluses. Now, these things were actually positive, John, and many stolen by the NFL. Number five, this has been, 17 years ago, player intros. Mm. This was most famously copied by Sunday and Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
You know, John Sears, Dowling, Catholic.
Do I talk like
defensive
that?
Defensive tackle. Number four, the opening scramble. Okay, no one copied this, and a couple of guys blew out their knees, but it was fun
to
watch,
right? It's kind of cool, yeah, because you do this in practice. You run and try to get the ball. I mean, it's kind of cool.
All right, number three, in-game access. That included cable cams, sky cams, steady cams. This is perhaps the biggest lifts.
Yeah, now some games, you get the behind the huddle camera for the entire game, you know, that they've done so for a couple games this year like that.
All right, number two, minimized kicking. Now, this didn't catch on in the NFL, but many of us still wish it would have.
Yeah, no PATs, no kickoffs.
Yeah, you couldn't fair catch a punt.
Yeah.
Well, true, if you guys suffered extra brain damage, but no fair catches. Number one,
He hate me. Hey, one of the greatest nicknames in sports history came from the one season of XFL.
And now this is coming back in 2020, right? It's not next year. We got 2 years for them to build this up.
Right, 2020. We'll
Des Moines getting a team?
No, they're going to put the teams in NFL cities so they can use the same facilities as the NFL teams.
Are the NFL
that
cities
seems like a
fans
bad idea.
Actually going to support the XFL teams? I
doubt it.
I don't get that.
All right, Jackie is in Clive. Hello, Jackie. What inspired you today?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's not football, but it is tennis. I got up in the middle of the night to watch the men's and women's finals this weekend. And I was blown away by Federer's performance today and the fact that he's reached 20 Grand Slam finals, the first male to do so, 30 Grand Slam final championships he's reached. They said in the ceremony there was no more superlatives to use for him, and it's almost true.
It is true. We're watching a file video of him from when he won Wimbledon, and he's gotten a late career second wind here, John.
Yeah.
He's rolling again.
Because how old is he now?
What is he?
36.
36. Now that's
My age, and he's won 20 Grand Slams.
But Jackie knows that's old. for a men's tennis player. Jeez. That's old. 36 is old, but
yes.
he's not slowing down.
He's so good.
He's a first class guy too. If this guy was an American, he would be a much bigger superstar in our country.
I couldn't agree more, and that's why I like to call in and just bring him to your attention, because he's a great athlete, amazing athlete, but he is a world class act. He's got a great charity. He does a lot of nonprofit work, and an excellent sportsman. So it's nice to see that these days.
Thank you, Jackie. Nice to hear from you.
He's the GOAT.
I was laughing at that final picture.
Little kid.
Looks like one of your kids just making a funny face. Let's look again at the Iowa State game from yesterday. I want to take another look at these uniforms that John has just called for a ban. But I think more than you calling for the ban from these uniforms is how awful the Cyclones played. What was up with that?
I don't know. And they start the first 5 minutes, they started pretty good. And you're kind of thinking, oh, they came to play. Donovan Jackson hit a few threes. Lindell Wigginton gets inside. They're wearing dilly-dilly in the crowd.
The dilly-dilly guy there.
Yeah, so you're thinking, okay, they're playing well. This looks like another upset brewing in Hilton Coliseum. But then it just all falls apart. And you know what? Tennessee didn't play great either. They shot like 38%. They were bricking a lot of shots, but they went by 23 and they didn't even play well.
There's the dilly-dilly town crier right there. We appreciate him starting off the show for us tonight. By the way, that is the fewest points ever scored by an Iowa State team in Hilton Coliseum. And Donovan Jackson, the only Cyclone in double figures, said after the game that the Cyclones disrespected Hilton Magic. That's a strong statement. Hard to disagree with him. The playoffs stay the same. That and more up for debate when Sound Off returns live. You can email the show, soundoff@whotv.com. A normal team will call a timeout after a 6-0 run, but at Iowa, the coach will finally call a TO after a 14-0 run. Perhaps that explains why Iowa finds themselves always in a hole at half, down by 14 to 18 points. That is from the Hunka Hawk.
Huskers sure had a lot of runs against the Hawkeyes. Man. All right, time to bounce around some more topics. We call it face-off. Keith, it looks like the problems at Michigan State go much deeper than Larry Nassar. Both the football and basketball programs are now under the microscope, and the AD has resigned. What next?
It seems, and has for too long, no one at Michigan State wants to take responsibility. There's a culture of tamping down accusations, just a lack of compassion. Those in power keep hiding behind legalese instead of showing compassion. Outside the Lines' superb investigative reporting shows Michigan State put winning and money before safety and morality.
There's a lot more to come in this one for sure. The NFL has rejected an ad for the Super Bowl from a veterans group because it was promoting the hashtag Please Stand. It's obviously in response to many protests we've seen this year from players. You okay with the NFL not letting this ad air?
No. The NFL should air the ad. Anyone who took a knee should also respect those who urge us to stand.
The Iowa High School Athletic Association tweaked the football playoffs for the upcoming year. They'll stay with 16 teams, 8 auto bids for district winners, but now RPI will be used to determine the other qualifiers. I like they're trying something new. I still think 24 teams with first-round buys would be best. What about you?
I'm most relieved the association didn't bow to pressure from coaches to expand back to 32 teams in the playoffs. That was too many. I know occasionally worthy teams are left out, but that is better than a round of blowouts and more risk of injuries.
Former Hawkeyes Josh Jackson and Miles Taylor auctioned off their jerseys, helmets, and cleats from the Ohio State game to raise money for the Children's Hospital. It's the uniform modeled here by Akram Wadley. Any money that goes towards kids in the hospital gets a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, Taylor says the winning bid was $13,000 tonight, and that's just outstanding. Wonderful idea, and it's not an NCAA benefits violation because Taylor and Jackson are done at Iowa.
Done. Good work.
Over, under. Overrated. Eagles wearing green jerseys. The team in the darker jersey has lost 90% of the Super Bowls the past decade.
Underrated. Patriots in white. Tom Brady is 3-0 in white. The team in white has won 12 of 13, so we're just going to chalk this up already. Patriots win.
Patriots are wearing white, so there you go.
You tune in next week.
All right, don't even have to play.
There's some positives that happened. You and I, women, won two conference games this weekend.
Hang on. Hold that thought.
It's National Have Fun at Work Day. Are you boys having fun? I don't care.
No, we're sick.
1 minute.
He's having fun. Another positive from the weekend. These are some tweets we've got.
Let's hear some positives.
Pekin High School won their first ever conference tournament in wrestling yesterday, winning the SEISC tournament. Go Panthers.
Way to go, Panthers.
Positive news. Local news. It's not just all down stuff.
That's
here.
Good. You can get back to those in a minute. Okay. But first, we do have a call here from Wilfred. He's been waiting for a while. Wilfred in Des Moines. Wilfred, do you have something positive?
Yeah, you want to know what I'm looking forward to?
Yeah. What are you looking forward to?
Basketball season to be over.
Well played, Wilfred.
That wasn't positive.
Yeah, it was not positive at all. And I assume he means college basketball. For all we know, he's a Warriors fan and a fan of Des Moines North, and there's plenty of winning. All right, back to some more positive tweets. What else do you have?
There's got to be some. Somebody wrote, the Cubs and Royals have won more recent World Series than the Yankees and Cardinals. That's a positive.
Something you wouldn't
local
think
teams,
of, sure.
You know, the Cubs hate the Cardinals. Yeah. Brian writes, professional magicians are now called illusionists. Mm-hmm. When people figure out illusion, it is no longer effective. Maybe Hilton Magic should now be called the Hilton Illusion. That's from Brian.
That'll do it. That's for us. Nice. We step aside for NBC special programming the next several Sundays. First the Super Bowl, then the Olympics.
We leave you with the Sound Off Send Off. Another viewer submission, this one by Shafe 100. Grinnell, eighth grade, down two, final seconds. Calvin Jaworski for the win!
Oh, got it,
got
Calvin!
It. Calvin, take us home in style. Good
nice
night.
Nice shot, Calvin. One more time from Calvin, and then do we have time to go to the kitten cam?
There's
do we
a
have
kitten
time?
Cam?
Yeah, we have a kitten cam. Hang on, we're trying to get to it. I'm being told right now we're tuning in the satellite. It's a difficult move, John. And there it is. There it is.
What a positive news to end the show.
And prayers for Jordy. Not out of the woods yet, but there is a live look at the kitten cam. That is how you finish up on a positive note.
Good night!